A Profex felsőfokú nyelvvizsga első vizsga szövegét fogja hallani. Kérem, olvass el a feladatlapot, erre 1 perc áll rendelkezésére. Most kétszer egymás után fogja hallani a szöveget. A két szöveg elhangzása között 30 másodperc szünetet tartunk. A második meghallgatás után 2 perc áll rendelkezésére a feladatlap kitöltésére.
Federal courts hit hard by increased law enforcement on border. The 5 federal trial courts along the nation's southwest border, for years coping with bulging criminal dockets, are feeling the impact of newly stepped-up enforcement of immigration laws. The surge in new immigration cases brought by the Department of Justice is increasing the caseload of the federal judges along the border, especially the magistrate judges, and the need for additional court staff, official court interpreters, defense lawyers, and courtroom space, states a new administrative office report to Congress. Financial resources are not currently a problem. Thanks to help from Congress in the past 2 years, the judiciary is in a financial position to respond promptly to additional resource needs, the report said. However, other obstacles to such a response have arisen. The federal courts have very limited control over the nature and the volume of their caseloads, the report noted. When the Department of Justice files a criminal case, it gives rise to a series of court proceedings and events in the courts that require both the attention of judicial personnel, judges, district clerk's office personnel, pretrial services, and probation officers, court reporters, court interpreters, and federal defenders, and the expenditure of funds. The report added, "The judiciary is responding broadly and promptly to the needs of the courts flowing from Operation Streamline 2 and other recent prosecution initiatives. Short-term caseload surges can and are being addressed effectively by redeploying existing judges and court staff on a temporary basis, borrowing judges from other districts, or recalling retired magistrate judges. But as stepped-up law enforcement and caseload increases continue, more permanent measures need to be taken." The report said that the 2009 National Judgeship Survey is underway and that the 5 Southwest border courts have submitted requests for 14 additional district judgeships. In addition, several of the courts have asked or are considering requests for additional magistrate judge positions. Additional deputy clerks, probation and pretrial services officers, and court interpreters also have been requested, and federal defender offices along the border will need more attorneys and other resources. But courts may not be able to fill positions quickly with qualified and capable candidates. Many positions require special skills and training, especially probation and pretrial services officers, information technology staff, official court reporters, and official staff interpreters. The local labor pool is not sufficient at each location along the border to meet the demand, and it is difficult to persuade candidates from other parts of the country or state to relocate to a border location, the report said. Recruitment and retention problems are exacerbated because many employees at border locations are experiencing burnout due to the nature and sheer volume of the work. One resource problem in particular is much more difficult to resolve: the shortage of courthouse and detention facilities at several locations along the border. There are simply not enough jail beds, holding cells, courtrooms, and related court facilities along the border to handle all cases that the government would like to prosecute under Operation Streamline 2 and other initiatives. New courthouses are under construction at El Paso, Texas, and Las Cruces, New Mexico, but the new courthouse at San Diego is on hold, and additional court facilities are needed at Yuma, Arizona. Federal courts hit hard by increased law enforcement on border. The five federal trial courts along the nation's southwest border, for years coping with bulging criminal dockets, are feeling the impact of newly stepped-up enforcement of immigration laws. The surge in new immigration cases brought by the Department of Justice is increasing the caseload of the federal judges along the border, especially the magistrate judges, and the need for additional court staff, official court interpreters, defense lawyers, and courtroom space, states a new administrative office report to Congress. Financial resources are not currently a problem. Thanks to help from Congress in the past 2 years, the judiciary is in a financial position to respond promptly to additional resource needs, the report said. However, other obstacles to such a response have arisen. The federal courts have very limited control over the nature and the volume of their caseloads, the report noted. When the Department of Justice files a criminal case, it gives rise to a series of court proceedings and events in the courts that require both the attention of judicial personnel, judges, district clerk's office personnel, pretrial services, and probation officers, court reporters, court interpreters, and federal defenders, and the expenditure of funds. The report added, "The judiciary is responding broadly and promptly to the needs of the courts flowing from Operation Streamline 2 and other recent prosecution initiatives. Short-term caseload surges can and are being addressed effectively by redeploying existing judges and court staff on a temporary basis, borrowing judges from other districts, or recalling retired magistrate judges. But as stepped-up law enforcement and caseload increases continue, more permanent measures need to be taken." The report said that the 2009 National Judgeship Survey is underway and that the five Southwest border courts have submitted requests for 14 additional district judgeships. In addition, several of the courts have asked or are considering requests for additional magistrate judge positions. Additional deputy clerks, probation and pretrial services officers, and court interpreters also have been requested, and federal defender offices along the border will need more attorneys and other resources. But courts may not be able to fill positions quickly with qualified and capable candidates. Many positions require special skills and training, especially probation and pretrial services officers, information technology staff, official court reporters, and official staff interpreters. The local labor pool is not sufficient at each location along the border to meet the demand, and it is difficult to persuade candidates from other parts of the country or state to relocate to a border location, the report said. Recruitment and retention problems are exacerbated because many employees at border locations are experiencing burnout due to the nature and sheer volume of the work. One resource problem in particular is much more difficult to resolve: the shortage of courthouse and detention facilities at several locations along the border. There are simply not enough jail beds, holding cells, courtrooms, and related court facilities along the border to handle all cases that the government would like to prosecute under Operation Streamline 2 and other initiatives. New courthouses are under construction at El Paso, Texas, and Las Cruces, New Mexico, but the new courthouse at San Diego is on hold and additional court facilities are needed at Yuma, Arizona.
A PROFEX felsőfokú nyelvvizsga második vizsgaszövegét fogja hallani. Kérem, olvass el a feladatlapot, erre egy perc áll rendelkezésére. Most kétszer egymás után fogja hallani a szöveget. A két szöveg elhangzása között 30 másodperc szünetet tartunk. A második meghallgatás után 2 perc áll rendelkezésére, a feladatlap kitöltésére.
Judicial Reports sat down with Justice Miller to discuss these criticisms and his plans for the future. What's next for matrimonial reform?
What we would like to do next is a major change in the legislation for no-fault divorce. It was a major priority of our commission, and it's too bad that the legislature won't proceed with that reform. It's complicated. First of all, there are religious reasons that people have for not making divorce easier. There are some very well-meaning groups who aren't against no-fault divorce, but they want the legislation to include so many reforms that it's not likely that it will pass. The National Organization for Women wants the bill attached to all sorts of reforms that they think are essential. The bar leaders, judges, attorneys, and litigants we talked to were crying out for this reform. The sad thing is that when we talk about no-fault divorce, we speak with many litigants who are trapped in abusive marriages, but they can't prove fault. They don't have broken bones, but they're being treated miserably, and they don't have the means to start a new life by themselves. The marriage can be absolutely dead for years, and yet some of them are trapped. Finally, there have been many efforts to install more mediation in the courts. Mediation is a far more humane and better process for resolving these disputes rather than litigation. The courts have a number of pilot projects to encourage mediation.
A number of vocal special interest groups have always felt passionately about matrimonial reform. How have you learned how to work alongside judicial reform activists?
We try to understand the point of view of those activists and hope they can understand a different point of view. It's mediation. We believe everybody should be listened to. We have not had any unpleasant incidents with these groups. We learned how angry they are. We tried to understand and have those parties who were disgruntled help make the system work better. We didn't deal with the people who came in very angry about their particular case, their particular judge or lawyer. That was not our function. We were only interested in the systemic. We wouldn't discuss individual cases. That was for the appellate courts.
Many activists told us that complaints about matrimonial judges have been increasing. Do you agree with them?
I would not be the one who knows. You would have to speak with administrative judges about their matrimonial parts. I have no idea. From what I hear, which is truly hearsay, I don't think they have increased. Maybe the activists are more vocal.
A number of activists complained that the Matrimonial Commission should have included matrimonial litigants to make the commission more balanced.
We had a long discussion with them. There would be no end to the number of litigants and agencies and organizations who would want to be represented. Our purpose was to hear from the people. The people on the panel are experts. These were not representative of the public. The purpose of our public hearings was to hear from them. It would not be helpful at all to put on endless numbers of the public on the commission. I've not heard that these groups are unhappy with the recommendations we made.
I think they would like to see them affected.
Many activists feel that the whole law guardian system should be changed. How do you answer them?
That was a very important part of the testimony we heard. There were many people dissatisfied. I read enough cases to know that sometimes the law guardians don't get it. There has been an effort to train them and teach them their function that they are supposed to represent children.
Judicial Reports sat down with Justice Miller to discuss these criticisms and his plans for the future. What's next for matrimonial reform?
What we would like to do next is a major change in the legislation for no-fault divorce. It was a major priority of our commission, and it's too bad that the legislature won't proceed with that reform. It's complicated. First of all, there are religious reasons that people have for not making divorce easier. There are some very well-meaning groups who aren't against no-fault divorce, but they want the legislation to include so many reforms that it's not likely that it will pass. The National Organization for Women wants the bill attached to all sorts of reforms that they think are essential. The bar leaders, judges, attorneys, and litigants we talked to were crying out for this reform. The sad thing is that when we talk about no-fault divorce, we speak with many litigants who are trapped in abusive marriages, but they can't prove fault. They don't have broken bones, but they're being treated miserably, and they don't have the means to start a new life by themselves. The marriage can be absolutely dead for years, and yet some of them are trapped. Finally, there have been many efforts to install more mediation in the courts. Mediation is a far more humane and better process for resolving these disputes rather than litigation. The courts have a number of pilot projects to encourage mediation.
A number of vocal special interest groups have always felt passionately about matrimonial reform. How have you learned how to work alongside judicial reform activists?
We try to understand the point of view of those activists and hope they can understand a different point of view. It's mediation. We believe everybody should be listened to. We have not had any unpleasant incidents with these groups. We learned how angry they are. We tried to understand and have those parties who were disgruntled help make the system work better. We didn't deal with the people who came in very angry about their particular case, their particular judge or lawyer. That was not our function. We were only interested in the systemic. We wouldn't discuss individual cases. That was for the appellate courts.
Many activists told us that complaints about matrimonial judges have been increasing. Do you agree with them?
I would not be the one who knows. You would have to speak with administrative judges about their matrimonial parts. I have no idea. From what I hear, which is truly hearsay, I don't think they have increased. Maybe the activists are more vocal.
A number of activists complained that the Matrimonial Commission should have included matrimonial litigants to make the commission more balanced.
We had a long discussion with them. There would be no end to the number of litigants and agencies and organizations who would want to be represented. Our purpose was to hear from the people. The people on the panel are experts. These were not representative of the public. The purpose of our public hearings was to hear from them. It would not be helpful at all to put on endless numbers of the public on the commission. I've not heard that these groups are unhappy with the recommendations we made.
I think they would like to see them affected.
Many activists feel that the whole law guardian system should be changed. How do you answer them?
That was a very important part of the testimony we heard. There were many people dissatisfied. I read enough cases to know that sometimes the law guardians don't get it. There has been an effort to train them and teach them their function that they are supposed to represent children.